We are speaking this morning from Psalm 90, a plea for eternal God's blessings on our short lives. What is this psalm about? Well, it tells us that our lives are short and that we need God to give us wisdom so our lives count for eternity. Now, this psalm, as many others do, has a superscription. It is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. We don't usually think of Moses as writing psalms, but he's written this one. Let's look then at Psalm 90. All right, the first portion of the psalm that we want to look at is verses 1 and 2. It talks about God's eternal omnipotence. We don't use the word eternal very often, but the word eternal means that God had no beginning and he had no end. It's hard for us to imagine somebody that doesn't have a beginning and an end. We have a beginning. We're born. And I was born on March the 1st, 1947. That tells you how old I am, if you're a good adder. And I don't know the date of my death, but it's coming up one of these days. I'm reminded, maybe I've told you this before, about the guy who was an avid golfer, and an angel visited him. And he was shocked to see this angel. And they said, as long as you're here, I've got a question. Is there golf up in heaven? And the angel said, I have good news for you and I have bad news for you. Which do you want first? Just all let me take the good news. Yeah, there's golf up in heaven. Oh, good. The golfer was so overjoyed. Well, what's the bad news? The bad news is you have tea time at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Well, none of us really want to think about the day we die, but one day we will, unless God intervenes. So, God's eternal, God is different than us. We have a beginning and we have an end, but God doesn't have any beginning and he doesn't have an end. I can't put my mind around that. I accept it as being true. What do we mean by omnipotence? So it means he's all powerful. He can do anything he wants. He created the world. He runs the world. He controls the affairs of nations. Sometimes we don't think he does, but he does. He lets there be a Satan. A person of great, great evil and great power. You know, we were talking this morning in adult Sunday school class, Satan never does more than what God lets him do. So he has parameters he has to work within. God is all-powerful. All right, the first part is that God is a timeless haven, verse 1. By that we mean he's the place where we live. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Literally, Moses was saying, in generation after generation, you've been our dwelling place. Dwelling place is where you live. If I were to tell you all the different places my wife and I have lived, it would be quite interesting. We've lived in Kansas. We've lived in Australia. We've lived in Texas. We've lived in Iowa. We've lived in South Dakota. We've lived in Nebraska. We've lived in North Dakota. I think that covers most of the places except for where she's lived before she and I got married. She's lived in Minnesota and Pennsylvania. That covers everything. But the Lord has been our... Moses said, the Lord has been my dwelling place. I don't care where I'm living physically. He's been where I'm living. I'm living with God all the time, day after day. I hope that's your claim also. Here's a good cross-reference. Psalm 91, verse 9. You have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, the place where you live. All right, so God is a timeless haven. Now, secondly, God is omnipotent. Verse 2a, before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world. This is poetic language. But Moses is saying before the mountains were born, before they were ever existed any mountains, before the world or the earth ever existed. He's going to make a statement about that. But what was it like before God made anything? That's your answer. There was nothing. Well, God was there, but you can't see God. But as far as the physical universe, there was nothing. So before that, before the mountains were born and the earth were, or the earth or world were given birth, God is eternal. Second part of verse 2, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So from the time before there was anything at all, before anything existed, clear to the very end of time, which time never does end. Our time on earth ends, but time never ends. We'll always exist somewhere, even when we die. You are even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So that's pretty amazing. God has always existed. He's always been. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful, and he's eternal. Now let's talk about man's brief mortality. God, on the one hand, has always been. He's eternal, and he's all-powerful. But as far as time is concerned, we are brief. And especially our life on the earth is very, very brief. And we're not all-powerful. We're mortal. That means we're able to die, and we are on the way to die. It's just a matter of time. Someone said, well, you know, I heard she has terminal illness. I hate to tell you this, we all have terminal illness. We're all going to die. It's just a question of when, not if. So we need to think about that. If you realize that you have terminal illness, you live life differently. If you think you're going to live forever, you live life one way. But if you know you're going to die, then you live life differently. Man's brief mortality, Psalm 90, verses 3 to 6. First of all, we talk about man's mortality, his brief mortality. He returns to dust, verse 3, Psalm 90, verse 3. Moses talking about God, you, God, turn man back into dust and say, return, O children of men. Say, well, why dust? Well, remember, God made Adam out of dust. Some things he created out of nothing. He created the earth out of nothing. He created the stars out of nothing. But he created man out of something. He created us out of dust. In fact, the name Adam in Hebrew, Adam, means red, because maybe it was red earth that Adam came from. In the early chapters of Genesis, it's hard to know whether Adam means man or whether it means Adam. But Adam apparently was made out of red earth, red dust. And when he sinned, God says, you are made out of dust, and to dust you will return. You sin against me, and you will die. It's one thing that we have to remember. God did not create us to die. He created us to live forever. But when we, in our first father, Adam, chose to sin, we chose death, and we've been dying ever since. We just had a funeral in this room just a couple days ago. We have funerals because people die. People die because they sin. Now, I'm not going to say that Mrs. Wack or Mrs. Rouser, Edna Rouser, committed some terrible sin and therefore she died. No. We all sin. And that's why we're going to die. Because of sin. Am I going to die? Yeah, you can tell. Look how gray my hair is. I'm on the way. Am I perfect? No. Have I sinned? Yes, I have. I have to confess my sins to God. And I'm going to die because I'm a sinner. And we will return back to dust. If you open up a coffin that's been in the ground for a long time, you won't see any skin anymore. It'll all be decayed into dust. You might see some bones. Now, preservatives keep you around a little longer, but eventually it's going to go back to dust. A millennium is short to God. Man is mortal. He's going to return to dust. But a millennium is short to God. How much shorter is man's 70 years? This is talking about time from God's perspective. Verse 4, for 1,000 years, Moses is saying to God, 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. If you stand guard At nighttime, if you're a military person, you have a certain watch that you stand guard for. That's less than a 24-hour day. To God, 1,000 years is... God's not hung up on time. He's eternal. And as far as God's concerned, 1,000 years is like a day, or like a watch in the night. But look at man. Man's life is swept away as if by a flood. Verse 5, first part. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. Now, I've got a picture there of a river. Okay, that's a shot of the Cottonwood River. The town river in the town ran right through the town we used to live in, Cottonwood Falls, Kansas. And the voice in the background was my son Dave talking. He was talking about that. You can see that right about there, there's a break in the water. It's pretty smooth beyond there, but right there, there's a dam. And if you were swimming in that river and you went over that dam, you might not come back up again, because I've seen logs get just eddied around and swept around. That's a pretty powerful current right there. And that river was at flood stage then, and I've seen it worse than that. But rivers, they're very, very powerful, and they sweep things away. Here's a flood that you're more familiar with. How do you say that? The Souris River? Souris? Souris. Okay, got to get the right North Dakota pronunciation. I don't know if that's the Souris River right there, but that's on Highway 2, bypassed east of Minot. It's a lot of water. A lot of water. And one day, Mel had a ball game up. I forget the name of the town, but you go up that, the Souris River Canyon Valley. It goes a long ways up there. And there's a lot of water can flow down there. And back in 2011, a lot of water flowed through there and down into Minot and flooded a lot of it. And that's kind of the way our lives are. We're swept away as if by a flood. Man's life is as short as the life of grass. In the morning, they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning, it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening, it fades and withers away. We used to have a hibiscus plant back in Kansas. Couldn't bring it up here. And it had the most beautiful red blossoms. They're huge. They get to be about that big. But they last a day. They're beautiful. They come up in the morning. They're there all day. And the next day, they're withered away and shriveled up. That's the way our lives are. From God's point of view, it's just a short period of time. Toward evening, it fades and withers away. So, man's brief mortality. We're not all powerful. We're mortal. And we're not eternal. Our lives are pretty brief. All right, the third section. Man's life is short-lived because God is angry at our sin. Now, that's not a very comforting thought, is it? God is angry at our sin. Verses 7 to 12. Let's talk about God's consuming anger. Verse 7. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. So Moses is, he's pretty somber here. He's talking to God about God's consuming anger. You've been angry at us, God. We've been consumed by your anger. The reason for God's anger is man's sin. Verse 8. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. You know, there are a lot of things in life that we hope we've gotten away with. Some things only we know about them, we think. But actually, God knows about everything we do. We can't get away with anything in regard to God. And Moses is saying, you've placed our iniquities before you. Here we've tried to cover it up and ignore them and sweep them aside, and God, you put them right out there in front of you. And even our secret sins, you hold them right in front of you. You see them, and you acknowledge that they're there, and you know about it. We can't get away with anything. There's a connection between God's anger and man's short life, verses 9 to 10. Man's time is reduced by God's fury. For all our days have declined in your fury. My life is shorter than it should have been because God's angry at my sin. Man's life is characterized by declining energy. We have finished our years with a sigh. It wasn't too many months ago that Esther's mother lay near death in a nursing home close to Wichita, Kansas. And we'd go see her. And she was so far gone that she'd just lie in bed. Used to be a very vibrant, energetic woman. She'd lie in bed and she'd say time and time again, "I'm so tired. I'm so tired." That's what happens at the end of life. We get so tired, and it's caused by our sin. Caused by our sin. We've finished our years like a sigh. The brief time span of man's life. Verse 10, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years. Or if due to strength, 80 years. If you read early histories of people, a lot of them died, you know, when they were 40, 50 years old. They didn't have antibiotics back then. If someone got to age 70, he's a pretty old guy. But now with modern medicine, a lot of people get to be 80. We have people in our church service today who are 80 and older. And if we didn't have antibiotics, they might not be here. But if we get to 80 years, the quality of man's life, labor and sorrow. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. That's the way Esther's mother was. You know, she was 97, pushing 98, but she wasn't having fun anymore. It's labor. Life was labor and sorrow. Ending too soon. For soon it is gone and we fly away. We sang that song this morning, didn't we? I'll fly away. But that's not really, I mean, for us Christians, it's going to be a happy time, but no one likes to think about dying. Flying away is not normal. It's not normal to die. God created Adam and Eve, the first parents, to live forever. Just think, if they had not sinned, we would still talk to Adam and Eve today. They would be 6,000 years old. How old would they look? 25. 25, in the prime of life. That's how God meant them to be. You think Adam would have had a mind? The minds we have been diluted by genetics. We're a shadow of the mind that Adam and Eve had. They never forgot anything. How'd you like to run Adam a race? I bet he'd be a... If he were still living today, and he were 25 years, looked 25, he'd put a lot of professional athletes to shame. He'd outrun them. He wouldn't have had any of the effects of sin, of aging. Amazing. Well, let's make an application. Verse 11. We really can't understand God's anger at sin. We can't comprehend that. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? Need to make a conclusion. I'm going to back up to that before I make this conclusion. You say, well, why does God get angry at sin? I think I understand why. It gets him angry when he sees us destroying ourselves. That's what gets him angry. That gets him angry. Suppose, just for a moment with me, that you had a son. And you keep telling him, you need to marry a good Christian girl. And you wait till you're married to have sex. That'll be the best way for you. And what does he do? He runs up and goes to the nearest bar and finds a slut and starts sleeping with her. And you get angry at him. He comes down with venereal disease, an STD that can't be cured. Starts using drugs. You get angry at him. Why do you throw your life away? That's the way God is with us. Because any sin is destructive. There's no such thing as a non-destructive sin. And God gets angry when he sees us destroying ourselves. That's why he gets angry at us. Now there's a sequel to that anger, and I'll get there at the end. Here's the conclusion. We need God's help to make our short lives count in obedience and righteousness. Verse 12. So teach us to number our days. Let's not go through life oblivious to the fact that we're going to die. It's a short life. Make it count. Make it count. You make it count by doing the right things, not the wrong things. The right things. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. We need to live wisely in this life. Now, the last part of this psalm, letter D, verses 13 to 17, a plea for God's loyal love and blessing. This is a plea. First of all, number one, a plea for God's loyal love and blessing. Verse 13. Restore our fellowship with you. Do return, O Lord. How long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. Now, God hasn't left, but Moses feels like God has left. Come back. Come back and help us out, God. We need help. Really, God doesn't leave us. We leave God. But we think that he's left us. But he hasn't left us. We've left him. And so he's saying, God, please come back. Be sorry for your servants. Number two, satisfy us early with your loyal love. And that will give us a joyful song. Verse 14, oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness. That word loving kindness is loyal love. That's the way God is. I told you before that God gets angry at us. But he also always loves. We think those two can't be to go together. But he gets angry at us when we sin because he loves us so much. And if you said yes to God, his loyalty will be with you all the time. It will never leave you. And his love will always be there. And satisfy us in the morning with your loyal love that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. If we know God loves us and his loyal love toward us, we're convinced of that, then we sing with joy and worship all our days. Here's an interesting one. Number three, give us equal times of gladness along with affliction. Verse 15, make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and the years we have seen evil. You know, That's an interesting request. Some days it does feel like things just go bad. And we sense maybe God is, we've made a decision that we've dishonored God and maybe he's punishing us for that. We say, well, God, would you give us some good days to balance out the bad days? Ever feel like that? Would you please give us some good days to balance out the bad days? That's what Moses was saying. Verse 16, let us see your work and your majesty. Let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. Let us see your working, God. This is a good prayer to pray. Let us see your working. Let us see your working in this church's life. Let us see your working in my life. and in my family's life. I want to see you work, God. I want to see you do stuff. That's a good prayer to pray. Verse 17, the last verse. Show us your favor and make our work significant. Verse 17. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm for us the work of our hands. And that was so important he repeated it. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. What is Moses asking? He's asking God, show mercy to us, have favor upon us, and make what we're doing significant for eternity. You know, there are a lot of things that we do in life that will not survive eternity. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. We need always to be focusing day after day, hour after hour. God, help me to do something that will last for eternity. There's a saying someone said, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. There's a purifying fire coming. And it will burn away all the stuff we've done in life that hasn't been done for Jesus. Will there be anything left? Or will it be all ashes and embers? Confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. If our work in this life is not significant to God, we're just wasting time. Let us pray that God will make our work significant. Here's what this psalm is about. God, give us wisdom to live our short lives in a holy way that counts for eternity. I'd like to close in prayer. Bow your head with me. Lord, we've been talking about pretty heavy stuff this morning. Many of us here in the prime of our lives, some of us are a little long in tooth, and some of us know we just have a short time left. But those of us who are younger don't even think about that. But we need to, God. We need to think that our lives are brief. We need to make them count for you. Lord, the first thing that we need to do is we need to make sure we're one of your children. We know you get angry when we sin because you hate it when we destroy ourselves. I pray, Lord, that you'll help every person here to understand that you really do love us, God. You really do love us. But there's a problem. The problem is our sin. And you've told us in your word that every person, we all have sinned and we all fall short of your glory. We all fall short of your standard of goodness. And you told us furthermore in your word that the wages of sin is death. What we earn by sinning is death. And we know that. But we don't like to think about that. But here's the good part. God, you loved us so much, you sent Jesus to take our death penalty for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever puts his trust in Jesus, will not perish, will not go to hell, but will have eternal life. And you've also showed us in your word that if we trust in Jesus, we're forgiven from all things, which we could never, that will never happen by trying to keep the law of Moses. That law of Moses, Ten Commandments, can never forgive us anything. But Jesus' death on the cross can. And you said if we trust in Jesus, we can be forgiven and we can have eternal life. So I pray, Lord, that you'll help us here today to say, Jesus, right now, I'm going to trust in you. I'll admit it. I've pulled some boners. I've done some wrong things and I've been trying to live my life for me. From today on, I want to start living my life for you. I want to trust you, Jesus, for dying for me, to paying for my sins, and I want to thank you for rising again from the dead for me. And I trust in you, and that means I can have forgiveness and eternal life, and I can flip over a new page and start living for you. Please help me to do that even today, O God. And then give me wisdom to live my short life in a holy way that counts for eternity. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.